Chance Time.
Hello and welcome to Chance Time, a generic video game podcast hosted by some generic video game people. I am Ryan Speakman, and of course we always have with us Curtis Lowe.
Hi, that's me.
Paul Bills.
Yeah, Curtis.
And we have a special guest with us today. We're going to waste no time introducing her. We have with us Shaquelle Herbert, Zelda expert, would you say?
I mean, maybe. I will claim that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I think you should. Do you
certainly more qualified than the rest of us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you like to proudly proclaim your accolade of being writer for ZeldaDungeon.net? Or should we not
talk
about that?
if it means anything, I actually put it on my LinkedIn recently.
Wow.
So,
nice.
Oh yeah. For a while there I was like, do I want professionals to know that I do this? And then I was like, yeah, I do. This is so fun. So
yeah, if it's on your LinkedIn, it's a real job.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a live studio audience for the second time.
Just growing and growing.
Charlotte is listening in. You can chime in anytime you want to.
Okay.
But you don't have to.
I get credit for Shaquelle. She's my friend, and I was like, you guys, you have to have her on Zelda. When you do the Zelda thing.
And I'm glad you did, because
she was right.
Yeah. We were looking through your articles that you've written, Shaquelle.
Oh.
It was hard to navigate between your sea of Tears of the Kingdom theories, but they were all pretty sound theories. Has there been any in Tears of the Kingdom that have come true that you guessed would happen?
Okay. Yes, there is one. I won't tell you because I don't want to spoil it, but there is one.
Wow.
And I was like, yes, I knew it. But like, it was kind of like a different kind of roundabout way than it happened. But I kind of guessed this like 2 years ago at like one of the random like first trailers when I was kind of in hype mode. And then I haven't forgotten it. And then I saw something just on when I was playing it a couple days ago, and I was like, there it is. So, I won't spoil it for you, because it literally has, I think I've played a little too much, because I have already put in like, I don't even, I'm kind of scared to look at how many hours I put in. And it's only been out for like 4 days. So.
You've got the 10-day period where Nintendo won't tell you how long you've played, so.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
That long.
Oh, no.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. I forgot about that.
I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, it is weird.
I do.
I want to know how much. Yeah. I'm personally curious how much time I've put into it, because I played a lot more than I thought I would. I think I've got at least 15 hours in, maybe.
Wow.
Keep finding just time to play. It's nice, you know, on the Switch.
My guess
Take
is
it wherever.
I've been playing for about 10 hours, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's more.
Yeah.
Paul?
I think I've only got, like, maybe 4. But my son probably has another 3 on his. He started his own game, so we've been passing it back and forth.
That's funny. Did he play Breath of the Wild at all, or is he just jumping straight in?
He played on my account on Breath of the Wild, so okay. He didn't start a new game. But yeah, I've made it off the Great Sky Island, but like only just barely. I haven't done much more than that, and I went around the Great Sky Island, I think, 2 like full rotations, because I like made it to the end and I was like, wait, but there were those Korok buddies that I didn't reunite. I need to go back and find them.
I didn't realize what I was supposed to do with them at first, because there's two pairs. And the first one I was like, bummer. I guess I have to figure this out later. And then it clicked the second time. I was like, well, now I have to go back around.
Well, my first time, I had a whole plan. And then my little platform on the hooks went without me. I like, it started going down and I didn't catch it. And then I was like, I didn't have like the rewind yet. So I was like, well, I guess we'll do this later.
Well, as people can probably tell, we cannot wait to talk about Zelda.
Ryan, you've played at least 7 hours because that's how long the Queen Charlotte show is.
That's so funny.
It was nice to be like, Ryan, go play. You want to play your little Zelda game? Yeah. Set up and then I could go do my thing.
That's so funny.
All right, well, before we officially get into Zelda talk, Paul Curtis, do you have any questions for Shaquelle? Or Shaquelle, would you like to tell us anything, like what other games you play or anything?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Other games, favorite Zelda game maybe?
Oh my, I think that's like an impossible question. I've always played, like, I've always been like a Nintendo guru with like just growing up with the Nintendo 64. So like that's where I first started playing Zelda, because I played Ocarina of Time when I was little and I'd watch my sister. She was so much older than me and that was like my favorite thing to do. And then she would like, it was so funny because she ended up not finishing it. I was so bummed because she went off and got married and I was like, yeah, of course, like leave me and leave me wondering what's going to happen in this game when I was like 10 years old and she never picked it up again. But now I credit her to like why I love Zelda, and it's really fun to like show her up in it now. The student became the master, I feel like. But yeah, I grew up playing all sorts of Nintendo stuff, and like I already laughed at the name of your podcast because I totally said Chance Time in like the old Mario Party voice.
I'm glad so you got that.
But I always played those. I also I've dabbled a little bit in the Kingdom Hearts series. I like that one. Oh, all the Mario stuff.
Do you know every detail of the lore of Kingdom Hearts?
Are you? You know, I know quite a bit, but that one makes me scratch my head sometimes, even knowing the lore, because I'm just like even if you play it all, it's like, what? I don't even know if it makes sense to the creators, but I do like it.
It just makes me laugh to hear Goofy seriously talk about how the darkness is coming.
Totally.
I don't know if you've ever heard of the YouTube channel Girlfriend Reviews, where it's a gamer's girlfriend reviewing the games.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes.
Their Kingdom Hearts video is one of my favorites because they have a section where it's like Goofy talking like Xehanort and whatever. It's so funny.
Yeah, I love those. And I don't know, I grew up playing all sorts of stuff. I loved Harvest Moon growing up, like the farm Sims stuff like that. I was an avid Sims person for a long time.
God, I love the Sims.
We got to talk about Sims at some point because I am fascinated with the fans of the Sims.
Oh, I know. They're a vibe. They're so fun. And like, I feel like so many people just acted out like their inner sinisterness on the Sims. My friends have like really scary stories and I'm like, are you okay? Like, but I've just grown up playing all sorts of stuff, but Zelda's definitely my number one.
I'm obviously surprised you didn't mention Animal Crossing, which I think
Animal Crossing. Yes.
Talk about extensively with Jeff.
Yes. Yeah, me and my husband, like, we got married in 2020, like, right when that released. And literally, like, we couldn't go anywhere because of COVID. And so our honeymoon was literally just Animal Crossing and visiting these islands. It was pretty fun, though. I loved it.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful time.
You experienced the game in a way that no one else probably did.
Yes! Honestly.
I have one thing to add about to Shakel's credentials with Zelda. I tried the game recently. Which one did I try?
Oh, yes. I screwed up on this one. Breath of the Wild.
And I was bored to tears. And I texted Shakel and I was like, I'm sorry. I just don't get it. I don't like it. And we had a girls' night and we were doing presentation and she gave an entire like soapbox like presentation titled Zelda is not boring, Charlotte.
Yeah, I kind of called out
and educated.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was my mistake. For some reason, I was like, I want Charlotte to try Breath of the Wild, but I was just like, I'll just sign into my profile and let her wander around, but I give her no direction, and I realized I should have just started her at the beginning of the game.
Oh, yes, Charlotte, anyone confused.
I was running through a field, and there was nothing, and he's like, oh, climb that tower. So I did, and there was nothing on top of the tower, and he's like, oh, I guess I did that. And then I went somewhere else, and he's like, oh, I guess I did that, too. And okay, like how long do you want me running through grass? I could just like tape the little controller to the top and it'll be the same effect, just running through the grass.
Curtis actually revealed to me that, it wasn't last episode, you mentioned that you eat a sandwich while running through the fields of Hyrule. A
sandwich?
Yeah. When we were talking about snacks, you say sometimes you like eat snacks while you're just holding up on the control stick.
It wasn't it wasn't a sandwich, but yeah. That's a really good visual, yeah.
But yeah, we talked about the one hand and the one hand.
Yeah, I have done that though, you know, just holding up. It was climbing towers and stuff in Breath of the Wild, and while I'm holding up on the joystick, I'll eat a Tootsie Roll. Oh, there's a question. Shakel, how do you feel about Tootsie Rolls?
You know, They're not my favorite.
Uh-oh.
Honestly. But if it's like a flavored one, like not the if it's a Tootsie Pop, I'll take a Tootsie Pop.
You're making it worse, Shakel.
No, Tootsie Pops are great.
I'm okay with that.
This has been such a debate in my life ever since that episode. I've asked so many people how they feel about Tootsie Rolls, and I'm getting so many that are like, I just really don't care about them, or like, yeah, Tootsie Rolls are great.
I've always appreciated people that like I can give my Tootsie Rolls to.
There you go.
I think that's good. Your reject candy here. Take it.
Yes.
Should we open this up even further and just mention that Curtis claimed Tootsie Roll is his favorite candy ever?
Yeah, top tier.
Wow.
And no one agrees with me.
That's weird.
Well, it was a beautiful episode. It was a milestone episode.
That really was. That was the most controversial episode we've ever had.
Funny.
Well,
I had a question for Shakel.
Yes, Paul, go ahead.
Oh yeah.
I want to hear the story of how you ended up writing for this website for Zelda Dungeon.
Oh, it's so funny. They just like, I followed them for just like Zelda news for a long time, and then I realized like, if I was ever looking up walkthroughs or like just trying to find things like secrets I didn't know about while I was playing through things, it was always that same website. And so I ended up following them on social media. And then this one random day, like 2 years ago, they posted and said they're looking for writers. And I was like, what the heck? Like, let's just see what happens here. So all they pretty much told me was like the requirements were send in like a little cover letter about why you want to write for us, and like pick your favorite Zelda game and why and all this stuff. And I'm pretty sure in that I wrote like, I think I responded with the same thing. I said that's like an impossible question. But it was just really fun because his name is Andy Spiteri. He's in Canada. And it's pretty cool because most of the writers, we all come from all over the place. Like, we have one who's in Brazil and one who's in Ireland and then all over the USA. It's just funny. Like, we all just, like, come together loving the same type of thing and, like, all just discussing all the nerdiest stuff ever, and I love it. But yeah, it was just like, it was a pretty simple process, honestly. And like, I think it helped a little bit just because I write for a living. And but it's been really, really fun to dabble in like such a different like niche of writing, because I am so used to writing for other types of audiences. And I was like, I could probably do something with video games, and like, and then it's kind of turned into this, and it's really fun. It's really cool. And like, I get to throw out all my little fan theories sometimes, the daily debates, as I'm sure you've read way too many of those. those are like a requirement every month. Like you have to have like 4 of them, and they're very fun to come up with. Oh, interesting. And there's like a way that you can always be sure that you get a conversation started with fans, because you just make them really mad with your question. So that's fun. And then you can, they're really like open about everything. Like you can write like big, long pieces on just like specific themes or personal experiences if you've had with the game, or like I played through 2 of the Game Boy Color ones this year that I've never touched before. And those are like the 2 of the only ones I haven't played yet. And so I'm trying to write something about like my first experience with them in like the year 2023, when they're like 20 years old at this point. So just kind of fun. They have like really fun challenges, and we're always on the prowl for anything Zelda news. So we've been blowing up for like the past, really the past like 6 months, as all the news started coming out. And
Chakal,
now
can you go, so yes. I want to go back to what you said about starting the debates. Mm-hmm. Can you remember something that you said that made people so angry to the point that you were a little concerned? Does anything stand out that like really riled people up?
Funny, they get very touchy with like talking about relationships in Legend of Zelda.
Oh, okay.
That's a big one. People really, really do not want Link to talk ever. Which is really funny, because like that's a big debate question of like, should he speak at one point? Like like he speaks in the game, but you never really hear him speak audibly. But that makes people really mad.
I had a similar stance with Mario for a long time.
In
Luigi's Mansion 3, they have Mario say full sentences in the stereotypical Mario voice. Yeah. And it was very off-putting for me. And I think I've changed my mind since the Mario movie. Just give him a normal voice and it's just fine.
Yeah, well, and like,
that was going to be my question. Do you think there should be a Zelda movie? They're going to have to make Link talk if they make a movie, right?
That's what I mean. Like, I don't. But so we actually responded to a piece of news yesterday that was the producer of the series saying that he is interested in a Zelda movie after seeing like how freaking crazy successful the Mario movie has been, and so. He said he's interested in it, but the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I don't know how they do it, because he doesn't speak. Like, I don't know. And then I'm like, would they make it animated? Would they make it like something else? Would they make it look like Zelda? Yeah. Like, it's just, I have no idea. Like, I haven't even thought about it, because it seems so far-fetched. But now with this, like them opening the doors to producing movies now, you never know. That could totally be a thing in the next few years. But
I mean, it's obviously Tom Holland or Timothy Chalamet. Those are really your only options.
Yes.
I'm going to throw in
all the Gen Zers. Yep.
He's so cool.
Ganondorf.
He's Momoa.
That's so funny.
I think he would be all in on that, actually. Like,
he would be really good at that.
Yeah.
I can see that you've thought about this before.
I specifically only cast Ganondorfs.
But yeah, I'd love to see that, but I worry about it, because I want them to do it well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So which Zeldas have you not played?
Ooh, at this point, I think the only one I'm like, I know like the stories, but I have not been able to get copies of they're like the really low key ones, the Four Swords and then Four Swords Adventures, which came out like in the early 2000s. And those ones are like Game Boy ones. And I think there's a copy that we all have at Zelda Dungeon, and they're like mailing it to each other because it's like so hard to get a hold of and it's so expensive. And also one of those you have to play with like four people at a time to even like beat the game. So, and you have to have like the little those little connector devices that they had with the Game Boy Advance. So it's like such a pain in the butt to play. So
Let
that's
me
one of their.
know if you need to borrow Four Swords
Yes, I
Adventure.
knew you had those. Yes.
And I
Yeah, I
have
may have.
one Game Boy connector, I think, at this point. I might still have two.
Wow. Yeah, I
No.
have mine still.
There you go.
That's
I just have the
funny.
connector, though. I don't have. Do I have... Oh, I still have Pac-Man Versus. That's what we had
Oh, yeah.
it for.
That's amazing. But yeah, most of them, I've played through all of them except the those two. But
Paul, is that one that sister-in-law of the show has played Four Swords Adventure?
I don't know. I mean, her plan is to play through all of them, but I don't know if that's one she's hit yet or not.
Maybe someday we'll set up a four-player Game Boy Advance
There you go.
Four Swords Adventure and
Yeah,
get everyone
that
to
would be
play.
incredible.
That'd be awesome.
Well, any other questions? Anything? I guess we gotta talk about you sent us two articles that
Oh,
you
yeah.
said were your bigger articles. I will call them your most famous articles, but
Thanks for that.
you sent What the Le sorry, What the Legend of Zelda Has Taught Me About Courage was one of them, and What the Legend of Zelda Has Taught Me About Failure and Second Chances. We're gonna put these in the episode description. We'll probably send them to our Discord chat as well. But is there anything you want to say about them? I thought they were very good. Is my personal like editorial author reviewer that yes, they were very good.
Thank you.
I especially liked the failure and second chances one. Not a lot of people are talking about Ravio.
I love him so much.
And he was a really cool character.
He was so
And
good.
especially looking at him in the perspective of like he's the failed
Yeah.
hero of alternate Hyrule, but he kind of gains that second chance over
Yes.
time and kind of redeems himself. I thought that was a really cool parallel that you made.
Yeah, and that A Link Between Worlds is like probably my favorite like 2D type like top-down Zelda. It's so good.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
But yeah, I love that one. I just those articles are like those are like years of me kind of just like it's like pretty much word vomiting all my like thoughts and cheesiness about the lessons that I've learned from these games. Like, I don't know. I'm just like such an analogy person, and like I just really like to focus in on character development and things like that. And it's like there's just such good stuff in this series, and like I love how it's kind of more like Nintendo's kind of the worst tease ever because they just kind of they just make implications. They don't really put it out like on display. It's more they like more put things out there and give you little hints at what's going on behind relationships or characters, and then they allow you to put the pieces together and like to think more deeply about it. And I think that's why I love it so much. And like the There's just like such like it's like the adventure is fun and just like going and smacking monsters around is fun. And like the reason I loved it so much when I was little is because I loved princesses and I loved horses. So I got to ride around and like play on my little horse and hang out with princesses. But like there's just like such deeper, like heartfelt and like really, really deep messages in there, and I just appreciate them. The older I get, the more I think about them, and the more I have time to think about them too. Like throughout this playthrough that I'm doing right now with Tears of the Kingdom, I'm like, I'm gonna need like 10 more years and then I'll come out with some good stuff. There's so much to unpack, but like I could talk about the older ones all day long, really, just with how many good messages they have in them. Anyway,
for sure.
That's just...
And it like you don't see a lot of articles of how Zelda teaches you stuff, and I don't know. I do think that you do learn a lot though, because what we were kind of talking about before is Link doesn't talk for a lot of the games. You can name your character after yourself or whatever inappropriate
something else
thing you want.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
oh yeah.
For a lot of people, it becomes like, this is me playing the game. I'm going on the adventure, and you are able to learn a lot through that. And I think your experiences in those articles are really relatable and really cool.
Just in case anyone's listening to this in the car. Those sirens are on our recording.
Sorry,
they're
on our end.
Yeah.
No worries.
They're coming to get us.
Can I just say it also? I agree. I feel like all the articles I see about Zelda, about the gameplay, and all that kind of stuff, which is good stuff to talk about. And that's kind of what I, especially with Breath of the Wild and now Tears of the Kingdom, that's kind of where my brain's at. And then the other thing they seem to talk about a lot is like just the lore and the timeline and all that kind of stuff too. So it's, yeah, I don't see a lot of content digging into the themes and stuff as much. Mm-hmm. It seems like the one that people talk about the most in terms of themes is Majora's Mask, which
oh,
I
yes,
is fair.
For sure.
Because there's a ton of stuff in there too. But yeah, I really like these articles that made me think a lot about other stuff, other things I've seen. Instances of like characters showing courage and whatnot and bravery in these games. One I would throw out really quick though is from Majora's Mask, the one about when your article about courage, when I was reading that, it made me think of the little girl in what's the valley with all the dead people. I forgot what it's called.
Icana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her and her dad, that whole story.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, man. But like she stuck around and like tried to fix things, even though she's just a child. And like, I guess that goes with both articles, you know, because her dad failed in what he was trying to do. And then she was brave enough to try to fix that problem, which, yeah, I'd be out.
oh, no, seriously. Majora's Mask, like, I love it, but it is still like nightmare fuel for me. It just gives me so much anxiety. Every time I play through it, I'm like, you know, maybe this time it'll get easier. And I'm like, no, this is just full anxiety mode. But I love it, so I keep going back to it. But there's for sure like really, really dark, deep themes in that one, which is so funny because like it's like rated E.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this would not be rated E today. Like it's dark. Like the world is all cutesy and fancy, and it has the same engine as Ocarina of Time, but it's just like totally, it's like it just takes a whole 180 in the darkness and devastation level. And it really, like, that was like my first taste of what existential dread feels like as a child. It was Majora's Mask that did that for me, so.
Yeah.
What a gift.
I know, right?
All right.
I wanted to ask a question about your articles real quick.
Yeah.
The artwork that you use, like, they're all super cool. And I guess two questions, like, where do you find this stuff, and how big of a folder and or bookmarks folder do you have of just Zelda fan art from all over the world?
Also throw on, do you need special permission to use them for your articles?
As long as we just quote them as like a source and link to their page, no special permission from what we had to do. But that's kind of the point though, because they just like the publicity and then they like people to go stuff and find it. I find that stuff everywhere, honestly. Like, there's a few that I've grabbed from just like Twitter accounts, and that's all it is just their, like, there's one that I use often, and she is a Japanese artist, and I don't even think she speaks English, but all of her tweets are in Japanese. But like, she has the most beautiful artwork, especially of like Breath of the Wild. And then there's a few on Instagram. There's some in just like the, I can't remember what it's called. It starts with a D. But it's like, DeviantArt. My husband just helped me. They have really, really good ones on there. Also really sketchy ones too, so watch out for that. But if you know what you're looking for, you can find good stuff. Honestly, Pinterest too. Mike, I have a whole like 500 plus pin page of a board of Zelda content. But people, fan art, like, they create beautiful things, and I love it. Like, I don't know. And some of them just like really evoke like the whole mood I'm going for, and I appreciate it. So, but I'm like, I cannot make, I can paint with words sometimes, but I cannot paint with actual paint. Like, yeah, I don't they are so talented.
Yeah, like some of these, like, if it wasn't in the context of your Zelda article and I wasn't looking carefully, I might not even notice at first. Like, I would just think like that was just like a landscape or just like a more traditional painting. But some of them are kind of subtle in the reference. But yeah, they're all incredible. And I'm sure, you know, this is a community that, like you, cares so deeply and has such a history that there's got to be an endless well of this stuff. So I was just curious, like, how do you organize it? How do you decide what to put in for a particular piece? Because there's got to be so much to draw from.
Yeah, so many things. And it's really funny because I have there's this one, I don't know if that, oh no, I think it was the main picture on my Courage article of I think it's Link from Breath of the Wild, and he's like he's on his horse through like the forest, and that's like my background and my work computer. And so many people have come up to me while they're just talking to me at work, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, what is that?" And then they're so surprised when I tell them that it's like a Zelda fan art, and they're like, "Really?" Like, they have no idea what it is. It's so funny.
It's amazing.
Let me be nerdy, but like in a super low key way,
subtle way, a safer work way.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Any more questions for Shakel before we move on to what we're all dying to talk about?
Let's go for it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, as everyone knows, Friday, May 12th, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom released. We have all played it, and this is our 6-day impressions, I think is the official title we're going for.
Can I ask one quick question before we start?
Please.
Out of curiosity, did anyone else play Breath of the Wild at all before to like prep for this?
Yes. I did not.
Okay. Did you play the whole game, Shakel, or just like,
you know, parts of it? I am a crazy person, and I really did. Like, I went and like got, I did, and I was just kind of, I think I was just really wanting this game so bad that I was doing anything I could to just fill the void. So I like, and it's so big. Like, the funny thing about other Zelda games is like, you can go through and replay it, and like, you can, if even if you play it like casually, you can beat them in like a week or two. Like, Breath of the Wild, to get everything, like all the shrines and all the story and all that stuff, like, it takes so long, and I totally did it again, like in like March and April. And my husband's like, haven't we seen this like 50 times? And I was like, yes, but isn't it great? Like, let's just.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I'm glad. I'm not the only one, because I played it on my Wii U when it came out. That was the last time I played it. And my brother-in-law had a copy on the Switch, so I was like, I'm not playing it again on my Wii U. That doesn't sound as pleasant. So I borrowed my brother-in-law's copy because I didn't want to buy it again, and I hadn't played the DLC either. So my goal was just to be like, yeah, I'll just get through the DLC stuff, do all of that, and then finish it, and then I can be ready. And so that was in like March, and then my Switch says I played it for 85 hours.
Nice.
It was so hard to focus and be like, yeah, I just need to have enough hearts and stuff to go beat Ganon and be done with it. And I just kept, but there's probably a Korok on that hill.
Oh, I know.
We'll find out.
No, it's just like, it keeps going. It's the gift that keeps going.
So, yeah, I finished. My 6-year-old daughter watched me play the very end of Breath of the Wild Friday on my lunch break.
Wow. Oh, I love that.
And she was, when you're talking about how when you're little and you just liked the idea of the princesses and the horses and stuff, she was the whole time. So I told her, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go rescue the princess, so we're gonna beat the big monster together. And she's the whole time, she's like, ooh, is she pretty? Where is she? Let's go find her. And she was getting annoyed because I was like, yeah, but what's in this room in this old castle? There's probably some treasure back there in monsters to fight. She's like, no, we just need to go find the princess, Dad.
Oh,
that's was funny. So cute. So, but yeah, so then I literally went the same day from Breath of the Wild to Tears of the Kingdom. So I was just curious.
Perfect timing.
If I'd replayed it. Because I feel like that's kind of maybe changed my opinion on a couple things in this new one. But I was curious if,
No, anyway. I feel that too, for sure, with like a few of the mechanics that they've changed and things. And I'm like, oh, that is so much better in this one.
Yeah, some of the stuff.
Also, I really, I really miss my bombs, though. That's the whole thing I miss. But it has, like, helped me. It, like, they really worked hard at continuing, like, storylines of just, like, random NPCs. Because it's so funny, and it makes you appreciate it more when you've recently played Breath of the Wild. Because you know who everybody is, and, like, they're up to the same little shenanigans, or, like, they got married, or like there's just like really funny little storylines that are going on in the background.
That's funny you say that. Yeah, that's the one side quest I'd miss in Breath of the Wild was Tarrytown.
Yes.
And so that was the last side quest I did before finishing that one. And then I start this one, and then I read a sign. It's like Hudson's Construction or whatever.
Yes.
Like, Hudson. Yeah, I love that guy.
No, I got so excited when I saw that.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious. Like, and I think that's one of the first things I saw, and I was like,
yeah.
And it was so stupid because it wasn't even anything cool.
I know. It's just a sign with like,
I disagree. I think it's cool.
It is cool.
That's one of the only, like, that's one of the main side quests that I constantly see and constantly am like, all right, I got to help this guy put this sign up.
You know, it's stupid. What's his name? Like Addison or something?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But let's backtrack a little bit, because Paul looks confused.
I'm good.
Let's just go around the horn. We'll start with you, Shakel, and then we'll go Paul, Curtis, me. Just general impressions. What do you guys think of the game?
Oh, heavens, that is a loaded question.
These are the 6-day impressions. You're allowed to change them later.
Yes.
Well, if this means anything, I've like hardly slept this week. And then my husband said early, I think it was yesterday, I hit like a big story point, and I won't tell you what it was, but I literally didn't work on Friday or Monday because I just had extra time, but also I had things to do, you know? And on Tuesday, when I was going back to work after making like a little dent in the storyline, I was like, how am I supposed to work when Hyrule needs me? And so he was like, I need to quote you on that. I was so worried about it a little bit. Well, you know, I wasn't too worried, but I was a little kind of skeptical of it being in the same world and having the same engine as Breath of the Wild, because I was like, I feel like I've already seen and done everything in that the past 6 years, and like, I don't know what else they can bring to the table. But then I was like, okay, but this is like Nintendo, like they know what they're doing. And then I thought of like the whole, I don't know how familiar all of you are with like just like Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, but it kind of gives me the same vibes of that, because they're like the same engine too, but totally different stories. But the more the vibe I get with this one is, I feel like Breath of the Wild is kind of like the first like low key draft, and then this is like kind of the polished like final product from what I've seen in the past couple days. And like, it's so engaging. Like, I feel like they've made the story a lot more engaging. They've made, yeah, the story is so much more engaging and so much more put together. Just following the, like, if being like a direct sequel, those are pretty rare in the Zelda series.
This is only the third, maybe fourth one.
Yeah, they don't do it very often.
Third, but yeah.
Well, are the Oracle games sequels?
Those are like, they're kind of funny because they're like, they're not really even sequels. They're like the same game, but
it's like, yeah, like it's a coin.
Yeah.
One side you have seasons, the other side is ages. That's what it feels like.
Perfect way to describe that. But yeah, I feel like this is kind of like, because Ocarina of Time is like my favorite game ever. And there's that whole dynamic in that one, spoiler alert, even though it's like 30 years old now. But there's of like, you start out as like a child in Hyrule, and then the plot twist is then you come back in 7 years and everything is like devastated by Ganondorf, and like the things you once knew are now like corrupted and so much more mature and things like that. And that's the vibe I'm getting from this. Like, Breath of the Wild was kind of the childhood part of Ocarina of Time, and now this is like the adult part of Ocarina of Time. Like, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
But I feel like they've improved so much on even the gameplay too. Like, I picked up something out of a treasure chest and my my stash was full, and it was like, you can drop something without having to open this chest again and go into the window. And I was like, oh, that is all I ever wanted in the first one, because it was so tedious. Like, they fixed all the little teeny tiny tedious things. They also fixed the dungeons, and I will not say a ton about them if you haven't done them yet, but they're
dungeons yet.
Yeah, they're so much better than Breath of the Wild. And like, I love Breath of the Wild, but that was the one thing I felt was lacking, because dungeons are like my favorite thing in the Zelda series, and I felt like the divine beasts were like just they were too similar to each other and just kind of boring. But these ones, they've done a really, really good job of meshing like old Zelda with like new open world style, and I think they've done great. And like, that might just be me just being totally like stars in my eyes all week and not having any sleep, but I am thoroughly enjoying it. Like, I think they've kind of blown it out of the water with like the things they've managed to keep, like the storylines going and keep the same kind of characters and things like that, but expound on the world so much more and adding so much more exploration, so much more lore and story. Like, it's so good. From I'd like 10 out of 10 recommend. That's all I'll say.
That says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I have lots of thoughts, which surprises me, because I'm probably the least Zelda experience in the group, but so much. Okay, so first, I gotta go story first and then gameplay, and I'm not spoiling anything because I'm going to talk about like the first 10 minutes. I really, really like Researcher Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she was taken away again so quickly really made me mad. Yeah. Like, I thought, like, oh, this is going to be cool. Like, we're going to have way more interaction with Zelda in this game, even though, like, we knew from the trailers and stuff. But I thought, I don't know. I just really liked the dynamic between them at the beginning. And, like, Link's not allowed to talk, but they did so much to draw out his character in that first little scene. Like, there's a moment where Zelda's, like, trying to use the Pura-Pad to take a picture, and he takes the torch from her. And there's like so much characterization and relationship in that one tiny, tiny moment that I was like, give me more of this. And now, you know, she's in another castle, which is a little disappointing. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Maybe they'll turn it around. You know, there's still lots and lots and lots of game ahead of me. But I just loved their interaction. And I want to see more of it. And, you know, it was implied that there was time between the first game and the second game where they had interaction. Like, they have this rapport with each other and, like, this simple trust and ease of him taking the torch from her and little things like that. Like, I want that story. I want to see them interact because they're clearly important to each other. So when was that built up? Like, what? Give me more of that. But, you know, they're not going to do that, I guess, until the movie, maybe. but yeah, I thought that was really, really well done. And I want more Researcher Zelda and not Trapped Away Zelda. But again, lots of games still left. Maybe we'll see more of it. But gameplay wise, the very first shrine, when you hit that point where like you have the wooden plank and you have the little hooks and you've never seen these things before and they explain nothing, but it all clicks in your head pretty quickly. I don't know, like, I think most people who play that instantly see hooks, plank, rail, jump on, slide. And from like a game design perspective, that just blew my mind, because like you're introducing something that's never really been done in games before. Like, I can't name another game that has these kind of mechanics, and you're just putting the pieces on the table and trusting the player. Like, that's what shocks me, is how much trust they have in the player in this game to just figure it out. Like, other games don't have that courage, I feel like. Like, they feel the need to tell you, because if you don't get it, you won't like the game. But there's just so much confidence in this game on every level to just be like, yeah, there's some stuff there, you'll figure it out. Like, it's incredible. Like, I guess in that sense, it's kind of like Elden Ring. Like, it's the only other game I can think of that, like, I'm not going to tell you literally anything. Like, good luck. Start walking around. I don't know. There's some stuff over there. And it's just like both the level of trust, but also the level of design to make sure the player still has a great experience. Like, they find that balance perfectly. And when you first get out into the Sky Island, the Great Sky Island, it seems like it's just so impossibly open. And it's like, holy, like, we're just in it. But I ended up going around it twice because I tried to go back and do some stuff I didn't do the first time. And my second time through it, I realized like how many guardrails actually are in place to make sure you go the right directions. Like, the first time I was going, I felt like I'm just going any whatever direction. But there's a lot of things that are actually funneling you where they want you to go, and teach you step by step the things you need to learn. But the way they're able to balance that feeling of like, we're not making you do anything, but also we're making sure you get communicated all these very important things, because there's a lot to learn here. It's just like, it's mind blowing to me. And I wonder how hard they had to work to find that exact balance. You know, not too much guiding hand, not too little. I mean, it's why this game is 10 out of 10s across the board. Like, you immediately can tell, even from the tutorial area, like, they're just so good at what they do. And there's really not another game doing it at this level. It's incredible. And again, I've only played like 4 hours, so I know there's a ton more out there, but
so right, it leaves
a very good first impression. It is mind-blowing.
Curtis?
Nice. Just kind of going off that, I guess, I actually like the Great Plateau better in Breath of the Wild as a tutorial area than the Great Sky Island.
Oh, shots fired.
Did you say it's the Tootsie Roll of Breath of the Wild?
Oh, man. You don't need to bring up that much controversy in this episode. But I think I only say that because it's strictly a matter of preference. Because the way I played Breath of the Wild and this one is just me constantly going, ooh, shiny thing, what's that over there? And like, can I go up there? Can I go down here? Can I, you know, like just poking at the game and seeing if it lets me do this or that. And so when I played the Great Sky Island, I realized, oh, I'm getting shuffled around in a circle. And I'm like, eh. I only don't like that because I like the Great Plateau in the sense that it really encouraged you to explore and kind of set the tone of exploring and discovering things from the get-go. And this kind of takes away from it a little bit, but at the same time, they still do a really good job of putting things out there if you kind of go off the kind of vague path. Because I think I noticed it just because I just barely played Breath of the Wild, so it stuck out to me more, probably. But I still kept finding things that were like, can I go over there? Can I fight those boxes? If you know what I'm talking about, you know?
Yes.
But yeah, there's still a ton of stuff in that tutorial area where I keep asking questions and trying to do this or that. And I think it was still the right choice, because the mechanics in Breath of the Wild, the mechanics as in the abilities, you know, you got your bombs and the stasis and what else, magnesis and the ice cryonis, is that what it was? Anyway, those are a lot more straightforward. In this game, they'll give you the ultra hand and you're like, hey, cross this lake, you figure it out. Here's some stuff, do however you want. You want to build a giant bridge? Try to build a giant bridge. You can be like me and try to stack sails and thinking that'll make your little raft faster. It didn't. I still got across though. So I still had a great time poking and prodding at that because it's just, you can do so much stuff and it's really great. And that really gives you the tools to solve any problem in any way that you want to solve it, which is just really exciting. But yeah, so that's just a personal preference. And if I hadn't played Breath of the Wild, you know, literally 6 days ago finishing that, I wouldn't be surprised if I felt differently. but yeah, that being said, I don't think I've hit any story beats, really. I've literally spent all my time just wandering and trying to figure out if I can go places where I'm not supposed to go yet. And I think that's a lot of fun to do. I really like the feel of being, like, I guess, underpowered and unprepared and trying to make the best out of a situation where I'm not supposed to be and seeing if I can pull it off. and the just ridiculous number of tools they give you in this game, not just like the abilities, but all the new items and stuff. Shakel, you mentioned you missed the bombs, which was something I was worried about. But let me tell you, bomb flowers are overpowered.
Oh, they are, totally.
So overpowered. I won't get into what I did with those, because maybe that's spoilery, but I got to some places where I probably shouldn't have been, and it was just because I was throwing bomb flowers. And it was great. I had a great time doing it. Yeah, there's so much stuff to do, and I was worried about the map as well, because I was like, am I gonna ruin this for myself playing Breath of the Wild right before and they're using the same map, but they've not only changed it enough to make it feel fresh and new, it feels like as I wander around and explore, I keep finding stuff. It's like, oh yeah, I remember this place and that place. That's cool. I liked this place a lot. But then a shout out to my boy Hudson and all of his wood and wheels and stuff that he leaves laying around for me. It's just so much fun to build stuff to get to places. I haven't tamed a horse yet. I don't know if I will.
Oh,
because I didn't. I didn't really care about the horses in Breath of the Wild either. And in this one, I'm like, I can build a car. I don't know why I'm going to want to get a horse. But even that, they're expanding on too. I got the you can do more stuff with the horses in this one too, which is exciting. So
yeah, can't you like hitch stuff to the horse? Like you can make a thing and hitch it to the horse and have the horse pull it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just barely got that, and that might be why I get a horse, just so I can play around with it. it's really great, and there's just so much stuff you can do, and it's fully embraced. This feels more of a Zelda game to me than Breath of the Wild, with all the NPCs. Kind of, I feel like they're congregated a little bit more, and there's more characters, and it's just, I found some people that I'm like, I like you. You're just so quirky, you know. Zelda has some really good NPCs that way, and I found quite a few already, and it just makes me happy. And you can just do so many goofy things. I keep getting excited and showing Jade, look what I did. I got this farming hoe, and then I glued a living skeleton arm to it, and I think that's great. She's like, this game is so weird. I'm like, I know, I love it. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, my son, my 6-year-old son, just playing around with it and learning things. I look over at him playing, and he has a boulder attached to his sword and his shield, but he's still like mostly naked Link. So he's just like this like bare chested dude with two boulders just like running around. It's like this game is wild. This makes no sense.
I love that they just leaned into it too. I got a big club and I glued a log to it, just like a straight up tree essentially. And I'm like, I just love that they don't even try to like explain it. It's just hang like strapped to his back, and the log's just clipping through the ground. Doesn't matter. Who cares?
Like, we're not gonna restrict anything. Yeah.
My initial impressions so far are, I guess I'll start with the story. I love the story. I love the opening cutscene. I feel like it's the best cutscene we'd have ever seen in a Zelda game. And from that point on, I was like, I am so curious as to where this is going. And especially with the what ends up happening to the Master Sword at the end of the Great Sky Island part. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's going on? But in my path that I've just naturally come upon, I have hit story beats in such a random way. And the last one that I hit, I have no idea what to believe about what is going on in this game. It was the wildest thing that I could have possibly imagined. And I was like, how does this connect with anything? And I, like, now I'm even more curious about the story specifically, because I don't know, just there's a lot going on, and I'm actually excited when a cutscene starts, which I don't know if I was as excited in Breath of the Wild when that was happening. But I've really enjoyed the story more so than any other Zelda game, I would say. Paul, well, I'll ask everyone. Have you guys all done the camera side quest to unlock the camera functionality? Yes,
I haven't. I
just barely did that.
Okay. When you do that, it also opens up the game in such a huge way. And I was like, they added this in this game too? Like, where they have you go to do the camera, Curtis? You look confused.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out. I don't want to like ask in case. Yeah.
I don't know. But it's like the map in this game. If you think it's just the normal map from Breath of the Wild, they open it up like in such a huge way that like there's so much to do in this game, and it is overwhelming for me.
Yes. Yeah. I was like shocked.
Yeah. And I am getting distracted every like left and right. I did. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just laughing.
I did finally make it to Rito Village. Nice. I was kind of meandering there for a while. So I am finally getting to like one story beat at least that's not connected to the other ones that I've been finding naturally, but I don't know, it's just like it reminds me a lot of Breath of the Wild, but like you guys were saying, there is a lot more openness to it, and it's just cool to like do whatever and attach a rocket to whatever and just see what happens to whatever you've attached the rocket to. And I really enjoyed the picture that Curtis sent us of just attaching a cube of butter to a sword. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. <That's so funny. laughs>
All that stuff makes me laugh, and it's I do appreciate the callbacks to different characters, and is her name Pura? The scientist Pura, lady. Yeah.
Is it Pura?
Yeah, know. It's just fun that she's no longer a baby woman. And like you just see like little developments like that, and like I get excited when I see the mainstays. I was surprised to see Impa again when she seemed on the verge of death the last time we.
Oh, she's so old.
I know, but
her and Robbie, but yeah. they don't stop, man.
But yeah, it's just been a fun time. One thing I've been surprised about is I feel like they've ramped up the difficulty.
Yeah,
people have played Breath of the Wild, and I'm sure this happened to a lot of people, but the first tower you unlock is pretty easy. But then the next one you unlock, there seems to be a pretty like natural pathway to one, and there were so many enemies guarding it, and they were all blue instead of red, so they were like a tier higher than like the level one enemies. And I probably spent like 5 or 6 tries over and over trying not to die to all those guys, but it was like a really triumphant victory for me when I finally got through it. And I don't know, I do appreciate that there is a little bit more challenge in this game, and it just makes you feel a lot cooler, and including in the puzzle design. But I guess the puzzle design also is if you can cheat this if you want to as well. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. It is really cool how open it is. And I think adding the story to it, it's just a really fun experience. My one thing though is that there is a lot, and I like, it's hard for me to focus, but every time I open it up, it's just a fun time.
I was going to ask real quick though, because the difficulty, one thing I noticed about it, and I don't know if, I don't know, it feels like to me that the combat has been tightened up a little bit. I'm having a lot, like doesn't feel as easy to trigger the what do you call it, the flurry rush.
Yeah.
I don't know, Shaquille, you just play Breath of the Wild too, so maybe, I don't know if you noticed that, but in Breath of the Wild it felt like if I jumped 5 seconds before they were swinging, they'd be like winding up still, and then it would go in slow motion, whereas this one I feel like I can't trigger it as easy. I have to time it a lot better. You have to be like
right precise, because I was fighting a boss yesterday, and I like, it's happened so few times for me that I like forgot that was a thing, and then I realized that's what I needed to do to even fight this boss. And then I was like, oh crap, this has to be perfect. Like, it was hard. And I'm like, I keep texting my, it's so funny because my sister and all my nieces and nephews are like teenagers and we're all playing through it. And I'm just like, I am getting my trash kicked and I am not used to this. Like, it's hard. And like, you can't find good weapons anywhere. And like, it's just like, it's a lot harder, but I appreciate the hardness because it's made me have to like think and be a lot more versatile than Breath of the Wild. Because Breath of the Wild, after a while, like, you can just go and like farm all your good weapons in like Hyrule Castle and then you're set for life. And like, you know, and then you get like the, like Urbosa's Fury and you can just spam that all the time. And you get super overpowered. Like, it always bugged me how the guardians in that game, like, they're so terrifying in the beginning. And then the second you get your Master Sword, it's like, they're just like a piece of cake. But in this one, I'm like, nothing is getting easier. Like, I just keep joking and I'm like, I just feel like a tiny little baby boy. Like, no matter how much I try to get him stronger, I just keep getting, I keep getting my butt kicked, and it's making me really happy.
Honestly,
more satisfying when you actually win.
The other thing that's blowing my mind is how many different effects things have when attached to like arrows or to your weapon. Like, I keep reading descriptions on items and I'm like I think this was in a trailer, but the fact that the bat eyes make your arrows have a homing effect.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap, they did so much extra work on every single item. Like, even though it looks and feels like Breath of the Wild, like everything has been reworked for the new paradigm of a fuse and ultra hand. Like, everything has these extra under the hood effects. It's, I keep reading new ones and I'm like, I keep expecting like a repeat or something basic, but there keeps being really interesting different things. And it's like, attach this to make this happen. It's like, I can't even remember all these things I read. Like, how am I going to pick the right thing in the right situation? I can't remember what's possible.
Yeah.
I'll be in like panic mode fighting someone and I'm like just attaching whatever I can like super fast. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is doing, but I hope it's doing something. It's so fun.
Yeah.
I do love what you said about how they just kind of, they made it like so perfectly set up that they really do want you to use your brain and they really are like, you think you can't figure this out, but you can. Like, because I don't know, like the shrines in the first one, like they got kind of tedious after a while, like a few of them. And like some of them were so easy, like you didn't really have to do much other than like make some fans blow in the wind or things like that. But this one, like every single one I've gone in, I've really had to use my brain. And like sometimes I'll sit there and I'm like, this feels like an old Zelda game. And then when you hear the little like puzzle solve chime, it just hits you right in the, like, it's just so good. Like, it's so satisfying when you figure it out. But, like, tonight I was in a dungeon and it's so funny because even the dungeons, like, they really just want you to, like, I don't even know if I figured something out in the way I was supposed to, but I tried like this method and I was like, surely this is not gonna work. Like, this is totally going out on a limb right here. And then it did. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, well, I'll take it. Like, it's so cool.
I'm not even sure if I, like, we talk a lot in games about, was that the intended solution? But in this game, I'm not even sure if I'm solving the intended problem. Like, I don't even know if, like, is this the place I'm supposed to figure this out? Or am I just making this up for myself and the game has systems that let me figure it out, even though it's a problem I made up and not one that anyone intended me to solve? I'm terrified about, like, late game puzzles in this. Like, am I going to have to, like, literally program a robot by the end of this? Like, there's just so much you could do that it's going to expect more and more of me. I'm scared.
I also think it's fun that a lot of solutions to puzzles don't have to be like, I don't know. This is granted, it's a very early game, but I've come across some shrines where it's like, here's the intended solution, and I'm going to do this instead. And it's not as elegant or anything. The one, I don't think this is very spoilery because you do this in the tutorial area, but there was a shrine that was just about logs. And there was a part where there was logs and fans. I was like, yeah, I see what you want me to do here, but I'm going to bring all the other logs I was messing with. I'm going to make a really long bridge. I'm just going to do that. I don't really care that that's not what you want me to do. I'm going to do it anyway. And it was very happy for me just to do how I wanted to do it. And I think that's just the magic, is like, it just gives you a problem. And yeah, it just gives you just a bag of tools and be like, you should figure it out. You'll figure something out. You got this, kind of a thing, you know, and it just puts it on you. And yeah, I guess it goes back to what Paul was saying initially, is it just puts so much trust in the player. Yeah. And it's just a lot of fun to do it that way. Great. I will say
real quick, Curtis.
Oh, go ahead.
Shaquel, I know you had limited time. You may be excused at any point. But you're more than welcome to keep talking, but just let us know when you gotta go.
Okay. I'm good to stick around for a little bit longer.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Curtis.
I do just want to say, because the shrines that I really didn't like in Breath of the Wild were the gyro ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were discussed this recently.
Yes, I've talked a lot about them. I don't like them. And yeah, in this one, I think I found a shrine that I maybe like worse. Like, I think they're worse. Yeah. And they're just like tutorials, and it's like the combat ones. Have you found these at all? And it's like,
you're only allowed to throw a rock.
You can throw a rocket. You can throw stuff. That's all you can do in the shrine, though. And I'm like, I know. Like, an NPC told me I could throw stuff. I think I read it on the loading tip screen. I already know I can throw things. Why are you forcing me to throw rocks at this robot? Like, it's just, those are the only ones that I'm like, these just don't feel, they almost kind of, I don't know. I understand that they want to make sure that, you know, look at all the stuff you can do in this big game we made. So it makes sense. But I feel like, I don't know. But to me, I guess it feels a little heavy-handed that you're like, hey, if you shoot them in the head, it'll do more damage. Like, it just, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little overcritical about it, but that's the one thing in this game that I'm like, I just don't vibe with this, and it's just kind of annoying. But it's also not like, at the same time, I understand that this is a very minor inconvenience. Those shrines, you know, you just get them done and you move on. So yeah. I understand that's a minor gripe.
I'm excited about those because I'm like, all right, great. I can finish this in 15 seconds and then I can get on with
which is fair. Yeah.
Other things that I've got to do.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk about is I really feel like this game undermines the stamina bar in an interesting way, where I feel like in Breath of the Wild, stamina was critical. Like, stamina was the way you progressed. You could climb farther. You could reach more areas. You could glide longer. I feel like the gliding, like, it's still important, but I do find it interesting that you can often build stuff to get over big gaps now. And also, there's always falling pieces of island that you can reverse, get really high, and then just jump off of those. And like clear a big mountain in that way. And I don't know. I just find that really interesting how I don't really care about climbing anymore in the Zelda series that made me care about climbing so much.
Got to move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Can't live in the past.
But sometimes it is frustrating when I'm like, all right, I want to get over to that area, but nothing's falling from the sky. Like, how do I make this happen faster? What has been your guys's kind of natural paths that you, like, Paul, you haven't done too much, but do you have like because I often like meander, but I go to the story, and so like I'll get distracted a lot, but I'm kind of like, all right, I should just do a little bit of story stuff. And Curtis, it sounds like you are just kind of like, I want to experience every possible thing in this game. But you can talk more about it if you want. But Shakel, Paul.
Yeah, I'll say, because I'm still super early on, I am being a good player and following what looks like the most obvious intended path until they give me my glider back. I don't have the glider yet. And once I get that, I'll feel like I'm free to truly just do whatever I want. But, like, I feel so hampered without the glider. Like, I'm so terrified of fall damage, and I'm so sick of it. So I'm going straight where it tells me to go until I get that, and then I feel like I'll do whatever I want. That's my plan at this point.
Oh, the amount of times I jumped off a cliff and forgot that I didn't have at the beginning. I'm very much like a story-driven person, so I definitely have stuck with that. But like, I'm the worst. Like, I see like an opening somewhere, and I'm totally on my way doing something else, and I get completely derailed, and then I'm sucked into some whole different plot point forever, and then it like it just, I don't know, like I try so hard to stay on path, but then there's even more to explore in this one, and I'm like, okay, here I go off to where a little story point is telling me to go, and then I'm like, ooh, there's a cave over there, or like it's, yeah, I can't stay on task. But I do think this one is kind of funny because it kind of points you more in a specific direction than Breath of the Wild did a little bit, at least for me. I felt like it. So I've kind of been sticking to that a little, but I found I've kind of gone off the rail and went a little crazy and got like all the story points like before I even knew what was going on. It's kind of like what you were saying, Ryan, and I'm like, what is happening? This doesn't make any sense.
Are you talking about the Impa stuff?
Yes. And I'm like, okay, what? But I don't know. It's all kind of, I'm getting to a point where things are starting to come together and make sense, and like the story is making a lot more sense. So I don't know. I've been kind of just sticking with it, but also really just trying to not get one shot by like every single thing, because I have struggled with like the lack of weapons, and like everyone is so much more like beefed up except for you in this game. Like I don't know, I've just been trying to make him stronger, and like the only way you can do that is just through like shrines and stuff, so I've been doing a lot of those too.
Maybe my comparison to Elden Ring earlier goes deeper than I thought. They've been playing a lot of Dark Souls over there.
Another thing I wanted to mention is how seemingly random stuff happens that's important. Like, they've really placed things in a way that I talked to some guy, and he had no exclamation point next to him. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, go over there. And then it said main quest objective.
And yeah. I noticed
that. Yeah.
For the main quest.
Yeah. For the main quest. It was just a random guy I talked to, and he pointed me in the right direction. And there was where I ended up finding Hestu seemed completely random.
I did feel like that felt random too.
Yeah, but I wonder.
And then he left. I'm like, I gotta go find that guy again, because I have like 60 core office units and I need more weapon stash.
But it like seemed random, but like I wonder if we found him in the same place, or if he's just like he spawns randomly wherever in like a bunch of different places, so it makes it seem like you naturally find him just randomly. But I feel like there's a lot of moments like that where I've kind of been pointed in the right direction unknowingly. Like, it felt like I was exploring it still.
Yeah.
But then I have still not unlocked the final ability. And I have no idea where to get it. But I know it's somewhere early, but I just haven't found it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I just barely got the camera. I have no idea what the last one is.
Yeah.
I just got so derailed. Can I tell you where I went immediately after I got down? I didn't even get the glider yet. I went straight back to Hyrule Castle to see what was going on there. Which was a lot of fun because, yeah, I had nothing. I didn't have a glider. I had literally nothing. And I'm like, I wonder if I can get back up there somehow. I shouldn't go there, so I'm going to. That's been my motto. So I shouldn't go to that place, so I'm going to.
Another interesting moment for me was when I had two Eponas, which all of my horses from Breath of the Wild carried over, as many know. From the stables, and then I'm an amiibo scanner, if anyone else needs to know that, but I scanned my Smash Link amiibo, and Epona appeared again, even though I already had her out in the world, and so I had two Eponas.
Well, that is amazing.
And then I registered the new one, and then the one went away.
So you can only have one. There can only be one.
After a time, there's some sort of time paradox that happens where one has to disappear at some point. I guess we haven't talked about it too much, so we can kind of end on this note. Just any funny stories that you guys have, or any gameplay moments that you... I mean, we have talked about it, but anything in particular that you haven't mentioned yet that you want to?
One thing I want to mention that we haven't talked too much about is one thing in Breath of the Wild that I was hoping they would fix is the enemy variety.
Mm-hmm.
And they fixed it. I don't know how much we want to get into that because that might be spoilery for some people.
Find one enemy from the trailer that I thought was going to be like a boss, and it was just randomly in the open world, and it scared the crap out of me.
I've had that happen a couple times where I'm like, what is that thing? And then it comes out to me, and I'm like, oh, I don't, okay. Yeah, which is great. It's hard to talk about a lot of stuff that, you know, I've found or experienced and stuff because I don't want to ruin that for anyone else, which is kind of funny. There's a lot of, I don't know. So I guess I'll just leave it at that. I have some fun stories, but I don't want my fun stories to ruin it for other people. So.
I mean, I think as long as they're not quest related or story related, I think it's pretty open as to what kind of shenanigans you can get up to, but I'll leave that up to you.
I'll hold back the one thing I would say.
So. Okay. I'll just say that having not played Breath of the Wild recently or in a long time, honestly, I am having a surprisingly hard time remembering the buttons in this game. Like, so jump versus sprint are always opposite in my head for some reason. And
you can change those. You can swap those.
But then I'll play it the way they want me to play it. I'll figure it out. I'll get there. But like, I have died many times because I was like, "Oh, the thing's moving! Run, run, run!" And I'm sitting there jumping, or the opposite. I'm like, "Jump, jump, come on!" And then I just like run off. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm falling off the stupid island yet again." So that was not something I was expecting, but we're adjusting. We'll get there. But there's been a lot of very embarrassing moments for me, some of which were in front of my children who were watching me play on the TV. And I'm just like, And I'm like, I think I'm going to cling to a wall, and then I jump off the wall and just fall to my death, and it just keeps happening. So that's been fun.
I had a similar moment where I was falling from a very high place, and I pressed every button but X for the glider. I was freaking out because I was like, I'm pressing everything, but I'm going in slow motion. I'm pulling out things I don't want to, and I just like, and then finally I like paused it and like looked up the controls, and I was like, okay, it's X, and it clearly says press X for glider on the screen as I'm falling.
It's just a panic moment.
Yes, the amount of times that I've like been trying to get somewhere in the sky, and then I'm like slowly running out of stamina, and I know I'm gonna like fall and just nosedive into the ground. And I just keep telling myself, you know, if I just time this right, I can just pull out my little glider right before I hit the ground. And it doesn't happen every time. I also made my husband totally film the part when I made my first car because I felt really proud of myself. And like it was so lame, like I didn't even go very far on it, but it was just so funny and so cool to see it. But yeah, I've nosedived and hit the ground real hard quite a few times.
That does remind me of the first time I used the wing thing, wing device, whatever. And that was in the tutorial area, and I was like, I wonder how far this thing can go. And I don't know if it's because it was in a tutorial area and I was leaving the area and the game was like, nah, I can't do that. But they don't last forever. And it just disappeared from underneath me. And I panicked. And then I was like, wait a minute. There's no fall damage if you land in water. So I tried to like glide, and I found a body of water. And I landed like on the edge and died. That was pretty funny. Yeah, I was just sitting there gliding. I was just enjoying the view, you know. I'm like, oh, it's just like that part in that one trailer. This is great. And then it started blinking, and then it disappeared. And I was like, oh, no.
That's so funny.
That was great.
I just have been, like, surprised by how many little callbacks they've had in this one to, like, previous Zelda games. Like, I was... like the bomb flowers and stuff, like those haven't made an appearance forever. And then like I've been seeing like little enemies, and there was this one enemy that was in a cave at the beginning, and I'm sure I think it's on the Sky Island. It's like the one that
talking about was,
he was hanging from the top, and I was like, this looks really familiar, but what is it? And then when I picked up its little like remains, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a like, I know what that is. Like that took me so off guard, and I was like, of course that's what it was. So I like how they have like callbacks to old ones, and then they have like so many different enemies now, but they're ones that have appeared through like the entire series that we've missed for so long. It's been really fun.
This is a question for you specifically, Shakel. Are the Zonai related to the time robots in Skyward Sword?
Okay, I don't know.
They look similar to me. But...
They do. Very much so.
I'm glad you were wondering about that too, because I had that same thought.
No, I have been like, oh, it's like that meme where the lady has like all the math equations around her head. Like, that's
right?
Been like... this entire week, because I'm like, what is going on? But I think I'm starting to piece it together. But yeah, this is like I don't know, there's a whole new ball game going on in this game, and I'm trying my hardest to figure it out, as I think we all are, but I don't think it'll make sense till it's over.
Yeah, that... when I had that thought, it gave me a theory about who the Zonai are.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we want to talk about that. I don't know. Don't know how sensitive the people are to spoilers, but...
if it's just a theory, I think that flies.
It's just a theory.
Yeah.
And it's just because of the robots and that connection. If I'm like, I wonder if these are the same things, if they're the same robots. It made me wonder, because back in Skyward Sword, if I remember right... there was a civilization down on the surface before the islands rose, right?
Yeah.
So it made me wonder if the Zonai are the ones on the surface, and that's why those robots were there. But then I don't know how well that makes sense. Yeah, it's a very not researched theory. That's the only basis I have for that, because why are they up in the sky now? I don't know. They were on the surface before, so I don't know if it makes sense. But it made me wonder.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, I've always been suspicious of when they announced the Skyward Sword remaster. Yes. What do they call it? They had... Yeah, he came out and he was like, there's actually a lot in Breath of the Wild that started in this game. And I've always wondered, like, it seems like they really wanted you to connect these games. So I would not be surprised if the story connections are deep or several throughout this game.
Yeah, I've only gotten like one piece of story so far that I stumbled on. And that one piece has got me with some theories in my head.
Right.
And that's kind of exciting to me that with that much, that little that I found between like the robots look like the ones in Skyward Sword and then the one cutscene I've watched makes me think a lot of things. Which is cool. I haven't been this excited about a story in Zelda for a long time, honestly. So it's fun.
Yeah. And like you guys have played Breath of the Wild, my recent Zelda experience was Skyward Sword. And so my theories are fresh on my mind through that game. But other than Sky Islands and those guys looking like Zonai, I haven't really come up with any other theories. But immediately open up one of my Zelda books to be like, all right, what do they got about the Zonai in here, and they had a little blurb in the Breath of the Wild one that didn't give me anything.
I was say, it wasn't much of help at all.
What were you going to say, Shaquille?
No, I too was like very suspicious of them releasing Skyward Sword really recently again, because I feel like there's a lot of callbacks to that one specifically in this game, but yeah, it is interesting because there's a lot where I'm just like, where the freak does this fall in this timeline that is already so confusing and so just like shoehorned in there? But like, I don't know. I'm so confused, but also somehow they always make it pieced together, and I'm just waiting for that moment to happen because my brain is so tired from trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it is interesting, especially because Breath of the Wild, they seem to kind of like wag their finger at you, saying like, no,
yeah,
timeline doesn't matter anymore, don't worry about that. But you can't help but wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is this the natural place to end?
I was going to say, I guess the only thing left to do is go play it.
I know, seriously. Right?
Yeah, I feel like we'll do another episode on it for sure later, right? When we've played it more.
Cause I'm sure we'll start every episode with some sort of story about it.
Yeah.
To be honest, mine has been on pause since the beginning of this. Just been waiting for me.
I have one question, though. Has anyone, when I found the wells, I was like, this is really like, you know, the Nintendo 64 games when you pick up a rock and there's just a hole and you go down there and find stuff. Has anyone found a cow in any of these wells yet?
Oh, I have not.
I really, really, really hope I find a cow.
I always loved finding the random cows.
Oh, man. Well, I
talked to you too. It was so weird.
I know, right? I just because I have the Young Link amiibo.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
scanned that one, and one of the items I got was a fabric for the paraglider.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Lon Lon Ranch one, and it looks like the label on the bottle. And I got really excited, and I was like, I wonder if there's a cow in a hole. So now I feel that might be my next quest, is to find a cow in a hole.
Yeah, the official chance time review as of now is 9.9, and if there's a cow in the hole, it's 10.
Not enough cows in holes.
Yeah. Yes.
Or I already forgot the chance time review scale. That's so convoluted that...
Yeah, just a bunch of words. Yeah, I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
Just be lucky, Shakel, that we haven't like mentioned Mike Struckerberg or the Ship of Theseus or Peeps and LaCroix. Chance Time has a well of lore that we've only scratched the surface of.
Love it.
Oh, also, in case anyone was wondering, you cannot fuse a cuckoo to a sword or anything.
Dang it.
Because I thought that would be really funny.
Unstoppable.
I found some at a stable and I really wanted to make it work, but you can't. Which is probably good because that would maybe be unethical, but it'd be funny.
You don't want Legend of Zelda cockfighting simulator? No issues there.
All right, well, I think...
I just can't think of if there's anything else to add that's not digging into it too deep for people who haven't played it too much yet.
Well, if you want to dig into it deeper, you can join our Discord. The link is in the description. We have a special Tears of the Kingdom channel that you can talk about whatever in. I don't think we've set any ground rules, so Curtis will be mad if you spoil anything.
It's just funny because I feel like before the game released, that text channel specifically was just popping. Like, we had so many people asking so many questions and talking. Like, maybe it was just me talking about Breath of the Wild. I can't remember. And then the game came out, and then it was just quiet. And then every once in a while, like, Sam Driggs will be like, this game just keeps getting bigger, and everyone's probably silently nodding their head, I feel like. Everyone suddenly is, like, very, careful about what they say, and I think that's really funny. And I think everyone's just too busy playing the game.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Which is great.
But... apart from that, you can also email us at chancetimepodcast@gmail.com. Shakel, what's the easiest way to find your Zelda Dungeon articles besides this episode description and us posting it in our Discord?
Honestly, like, just finding my little name on Zelda Dungeon and then clicking on it, and then it'll take you to all my stuff.
Yeah, I just googled Shakel Zelda Dungeon. And
or you could do that, because I'm very easy to find. Very few people have my name, so.
Yeah. Check out those articles, and yeah, I guess the only thing that's left to say is have a happy Chance Time Day. Thank you for coming to see James. What are the other catchphrases?
He's so cool.
That works.
That was so funny.
He's so cool.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.